Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to the Card Chronicle podcast, Louisville's only sports podcast dedicated exclusively to Cardinal football, women's basketball, volleyball, and baseball. We've been doing this for years. It's who we are. It's what we do. We're going to keep doing it now. We're going to talk about men's basketball today because we need to. Cards lose to Bellarmine in the season opener on Wednesday night. We'll obviously be reacting to that. We also have, one of the biggest football games in recent memory, just about 24 hours away here when the Cards take on Clemson. Here's the deal. We tried to record this earlier today. We tried to make yesterday happen. I had hospital stuff going on. This morning, Dan had a bunch of issues. The result was we started recording about 2 hours ago with Dan at a Home Depot. the connection was bad. We had to stop. At some point, I may try to splice in at the end of this episode, if I have time, there's a clip of me talking impassionately about the Bellarmine game, and then in the background, it's just this forklift. It's like, beep, 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 and finally I have to stop and be like, what is that? And we're dying laughing. It was a nice little break, but I think Dan is now home. I think we're good to go. How's the setup right now, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, what's that thing on TikTok? It's like, today drained me. Like, that's totally what happened today. Had some car trouble, had to get new tires. By the time they could get the car in, I was going to be stranded there. Had to get someone to pick me up. It was my mother-in-law. She wasn't going to be there for a while, so I couldn't do the pod at Tire Discounter. So I was like, well, I'll just do it at Home Depot. Then the forklift went off. We lost connection. So it's been quite a morning, but happy to be here in the home confines. And we'll get this thing out eventually.
Yeah, this is probably, because we're recording this now Friday afternoon, and I've got a radio show here in a little bit over an hour, so this is going to have to be a shorter podcast than usual, which is kind of a shame because we have so much to talk about here with the basketball season kicking off and football now trying to snap Clemson's 38-game home winning streak on Saturday, but we'll do the best we can. I do think I'd like to start with the positive, which is football, riding a 4-game winning streak and seeming to be a live shot at Clemson this weekend. I think we have to start with the bigger story locally, which is the men's basketball team, the Kenny Payne era, starting off with a 67-66 loss to Bellarmine on Wednesday night, which, has elicited the type of reactions both locally and nationally that you would expect. Louisville on the receiving end of a lot of jokes, a lot of people getting their shots in. It's what you expect when you lose to a team that the rest of the country probably isn't overly familiar with. I think some people learned about Bellarmine last year when they won the ASUN tournament, but you still have a broader sports population that doesn't really know much about the Knights. If you listen to the radio show on Thursday, some of this will probably be a little repetitive. I started off the show talking like a 25-minute diatribe about the game, and I started off the same way that I'm going to start off here, which is saying this. I think that you can be... I don't think I know. You can be optimistic about the future with Kenny Payne. You can be hopeful that things are going to get better. You can think that this season is going to be just a momentary hiccup on the way to back to the glory days, and still be upset with the way that things are going right now. You can be both of those things. If you think that Kenny Payne was the perfect hire and you think he's the guy that can get us back to being the program that we were under Patino, under Denny Crum, that's fine. You still don't have to sit around and say that it's fine to lose to Bellarmine, it's fine to lose to Lenore Ryan by 10, because at the end of the day, I don't care who the coach is, I don't care how experienced he is, I don't care what the roster looks like, you should not lose at home to a team from the Atlantic Sun that's picked to finish sixth in the Atlantic Sun. And I know that and maybe that's why I've seen people a little bit more okay with a loss than I would really expect. I think Louisville's more educated about Bellarmine than the rest of the country. We know how good Scott Davenport is. We know how tough their offense is to defend. But again, at the end of the day, it's a team from one of the worst conferences in the country that's picked to finish sixth in that conference that comes in here and doesn't just beat you, leads for 33 minutes, basically controls the game. It wasn't a fluke. They deserved to win. If we had stolen that game in the last minute, it would have felt like a theft. They were the better team. Kenny Payne said it afterwards. They outcoached us. They outplayed us. That should not happen. I know that we looked bad in the exhibitions. I know that we're going to get better. Everybody else is going to get better too. That's the way that college basketball works. To be in this position right now, Kenny Payne is not absolved of all the blame for what this roster looks like. And I know that you can say we had the IRP hanging over our heads at the time. It was harder for him to get players in the transfer portal. I understand that that was absolutely a roadblock for him. But look at the other schools that are in the exact same situation as Louisville is. The schools that could say, that couldn't tell prospects, that couldn't tell recruits, that couldn't tell transfers, I can say definitively we will be eligible for the 2023 NCAA tournament. They all went out and got key transfers. Kansas did, Arizona did, LSU did, Memphis did before they got their ruling. Who am I forgetting? NC State didn't. They're the only school that didn't, and they're the only school that really didn't have an excuse not to because they had already been passed off by the NCAA. But every school, Kansas, Arizona, LSU, Memphis, they all went out and got key transfers that are playing big-time roles for them. We got Brandon Huntley Hatfield, which was great, but we didn't address our biggest need, which was in the backcourt. And Kenny Payne himself, if you're mad at me for saying that, Kenny Payne himself in May said, I know we need to go get players. I know we need to get guards. He said, I think we're going to be a good team. If we get some of the guys that we're in on, I think we can be a really good team. They got none of those guys. They added nobody from that point forward. That's on him to a degree for sure. The roster should not look this bad. Even with the roster looking the way it does, the team should not be this bad. It's fine to say all of those things and still say, big picture, I'm going to be patient. I want to see how he recruits. I want to see how this team improves throughout the season. But as of right now, it's okay to be upset about this. I am not going to moral victory a home loss to Bellarmine. I'm not going to do it. And I don't know about how you feel about this, Dan, but that's kind of where I stand.
100%. I don't get what the big deal is about saying out loud what our eyes are telling us. Like, it's like people are mad for us telling the truth. I mean, I'm sorry, but being a program of Louisville stature, whether our coach is Phil Jackson, whether it's Rick Pitino, Chris Mack, Kenny Payne, Bob Sennard, my dad, former sixth grade coach, got tossed one time in a tournament game. But it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, if you lose to Bellarmine, and all due respect to Bellarmine, I mean, we both love their program. We know what Scotty's done. But that just cannot happen. And I mean, I'd be lying to myself if I wasn't saying, all right, like there's been some red flags since the hire. I mean, you just mentioned a ton of them. The off season, you know, yes, we had a cloud hanging over our head, but you mentioned the schools that did as well. And we didn't address our needs. And a lot of these other schools got some guys in and we were wondering, hey, you know, all right, well, maybe, you know, we're going to be big. Maybe that's the type of style that he wants to play. Well, obviously, after watching the first three games, you know, that doesn't seem apparent to kind of match up with our roster. And then, I mean, you just look at overall everything from defense to, you know, to the fundamentals of the game. And again, I get it. I'm looking at the roster just like everybody else. And I know, you know, knock on wood, things are going to improve. And this is Kenny's first, you know, first go around at this. And I totally get it. I do. But at the same time, I mean, you know, people are like, well, we do have some talent. Geez, I mean, like some of these things I'm watching on TV, I just cannot believe, like, especially over on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we got guys with their backs turned to the basketball. No one ever puts a body on anyone when a shot goes up. I never see anyone, especially our bigs, in a defensive stance. It's just, I'm talking like a coach, but like in reality, the team doesn't look like a together team that I would have expected. Like maybe a team that would have that underdog label, like in the off season. We talked about all I wanted to see was, hey, play hard, get to the foul line, rebound. And instead it's like, hey, jack up 26 threes, be soft inside, you know. And I'm quite frankly, I'm a little bit worried, but like you, long way to go. I mean, I think things can hopefully get better, but geez, these first three games have been tough to watch.
Two things need to happen moving forward. I mean, again, long term, we can talk about long term if we want to, but if I'm saying what needs to happen in order for this to, for the fan base to be put at ease that Kenny Payne's the guy, to have some tangible evidence that this is going to be okay, you know, next 2, 3, 4, 40 years into the future, two things have to happen in like the 5, 6 months ahead. One, the team's got to play better. There's no way around it. Like this is, I hate to keep harping on this. And like you said, like I love Scott Davenport. I love Doug. I love Bo Braden. I love everything that they've built over there. According to KenPom, that's the second worst team that you're going to play this season. Florida A&M is the only team that's rated lower than Bellarmine is. And you know, maybe that winds up being totally bunk. Maybe Bellarmine overachieves to the point that they win the ASUN and they're a top 150 team. But on paper, you're not going to play many teams that you should beat the way that you should have beaten Bellarmine, especially defensively. I mean, Bellarmine, as good as they are on offense, as tough as that system is to defend, they have not been a good defensive team since making the move to D1. They're probably not going to be a great defensive team according to the metrics this year, and we did not take advantage of any of the advantages that we have. The team's got to play better. We have to show improvement. We have to show that we're well coached. We need Kenny Payne to prove that X's and O's wise and motivation wise and game preparation wise that he is the guy. We need that tangible evidence. We've got to win some games we probably shouldn't win. I'm not saying we need to be an NCAA tournament team even. I'm not saying we need to win 20 games, but we need to, we can't go like 5-26 this year and look just as bad as we've looked these first three games. Improvement has to be shown on the court. And then the second thing that has to happen is he's got to get some dudes. Watching the two exhibition games and watching Wednesday night against BU, it's apparent we just don't have the horses right now. Like we just don't have the players. And if he doesn't get AJ Johnson in the 2023 class, that's probably going to leave us without a five-star. It's probably going to leave us without a key recruit at the position that we need him the most, which is the backcourt, which means Payne is going to have to do this spring what he couldn't do last spring, which is kill to the transfer portal. Like you're going to have 35% of college basketball thereabouts in the portal. Once again, it's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. You will have some instant difference makers available that would love to come and take a chance at a place like Louisville where they can play in the ACC, theoretically be in the NCAA tournament and, you know, play under a bigger spotlight for to accentuate their professional dreams. Like he's going to have to get a better roster together for next season, regardless of how the season plays out, because you know, some people will be patient through year one and understand that he was dealt kind of a shitty hand to get this thing going, but they're not going to be as patient for year two. If you're not a tournament team in year two, especially in this day and age with NIL and the, you know, instant transfers and you being supposedly the recruiting guru, people aren't going to stand for that. Like those two things have got to happen in the 6 months ahead, or else people are going to start getting very, very panicky. I'm going to start getting very, very panicky, to be quite frank.
Well, and not only that, I mean, us as a fan base, after what we've gone through for the last 5 years, like, you know, and we knew it wasn't going to turn around overnight, but, you know, until we start getting some dudes in here, I mean, you're like, okay, well, how long is this going to take? You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going back to like the actual, like what I'm seeing on the court. Like what our next game, like to me, I'll be honest. If we got some dudes in here, like I could have actually seen it from the offensive end. Like, hey, I think this could be a pretty successful system. Now, did we jack up a bunch of threes? Yes. But I don't think we have a ton of guys that want to or are willing or you know, willing to take it all the way in. I think a lot of times, you know, we got LLs, we got Mike James, you know, Kamari, I guess, can, but we don't have a lot of guys that can really get all the way to the rack. And I think that's why you saw a lot of dribble drive penetration, kick out for threes. And I actually thought I thought we shot it decent, but I don't even care about that. I am solely focused. And I know you're like, hey, you can't win 5 games for the year. I totally agree. And I've said it a million times in this podcast. Like, to me, this year, we're not going to make the tournament. You know, to a degree, the wins and losses don't matter. Like, I need to see it, though. And through the first 3 games, it's been almost the exact opposite. Like, I want to see just, like, Preston Knowles type, you know, get up in your shit defense. I want to see, you know, do everything I can to grab a loose ball or rebound. Like, that's all. Once I see that, I will feel so much better and be like, all right, you know, the rest is going to work itself out. But, geez, we are like the exact opposite. We look so soft. We look so unsure of ourselves in the defensive end. Now, did they play a little bit better in the second half? I know a lot of people are like, yeah, they really turned it up the second half. I'm not going to say they didn't, but I think Bellarmine also had a lot of self-inflicted wounds there in the second half as well. So I'm not going to totally buy into that. But the good thing is Kenny did acknowledge it, like, in his press conference. Like, you know, we got to be locked in every single possession. But, geez, I mean, we need to start seeing that on that end because, I mean, without that, I mean, that I don't have high hopes for this season anyways, but it could get real ugly real quick.
I'll be perfectly honest. I've been – the biggest surprise for me through the first 3 games, it's not just the team doesn't look great. I mean, if you listen to the podcast for a while, people are like, you've kind of hinted that you sort of expect this. I'm like, yeah, look at the roster. Listen to what people are saying after watching this team in practice. You're not going to get a pretty picture. But the biggest thing that surprised me is just we haven't come out looking like we are this new reinvigorated program that we have just a bunch of hungry guys that are just desperate to, you know, impress their new head coach and earn playing time. And that's, it's a little bit alarming. Usually when you have a new head coach, you expect that right off the bat. You've got guys that are, you know, inspired by the new regime, or you've got guys that realize that playing time is up for grabs and everybody's just going balls to the walls for 40 full minutes. We haven't seen that yet. Now, the energy level
not even
was certainly
close.
Better on
we haven't even seen
two
close to it.
No.
Yeah.
No, the energy level was better in the two exhibitions. I mean, on Wednesday than it was in the two exhibitions, which isn't really saying much. But it still dipped from time to time, and I just don't understand that. Like, they came out, they played pretty well, and then we saw the same things in this game that we saw in not just both the exhibitions, but that we've seen kind of the last 2 years, where the second a little bit of adversity hit, they just sort of stopped for stretches. They just kind of stopped playing. They pouted a little bit. They looked like they lost their focus. And Bellarmine is a team that, look, their energy level's never going to dip. Their intensity level's never going to dip. Their focus is never going to dip. And when you take a couple of segments off, that's when they attack. And that's exactly what happened on Wednesday night. I don't know if you caught, Eric Crawford was embedded with the BU team on Wednesday. He posted some videos, like, before the game, at halftime, and then after the game for the celebration. And I thought it was really interesting hearing, you know, not just the Davenports, but also the players talk during halftime. And they saw the same thing that we've seen for the last 2 years. You know, Doug at one point, one of the players says, if they stop scoring, if we can get stops, they're going to stop defending. And, like, we have for so long let our offense affect our defense as a team, which is just mind-blowing to me. As somebody who, you know, like most people listening, grew up watching the Denny Crum teams and then the Rick Pitino teams, where if you took a possession off on defense, like, didn't matter who you were, your ass was going to the bench and you might not be coming back in. Like, we have guys when offense, when the shots stopped falling on Wednesday night and we started getting a little bit clunky on offense, made a couple of turnovers, we just quit defending. Like, we got lazy. We weren't in any sort of defensive stance. We didn't have, you know, no high hands to contest outside shots. A lot of guys ball watching, getting beat for back cuts. A lot of guys just getting beat on straight line drives. And that, I mean, it goes without saying, cannot happen. Like I can't believe that we're even talking about this early in a season. But that, to me, has been the biggest disappointment through 3 showings from this team so far.
And usually when you get a new coach, and sometimes with a new coach, this kind of corny stuff, like, only lasts for a year. But you usually get, like, excellent body language out of your kids. Like, kids are, the bench is going nuts.
Yeah.
You know, a guy falls down. You have four teammates over to help sprint up, you know, sprint over to help him up. On a foul, the team huddles up. You know, the body language is just, you know, it's not there for me at all. And I mean, you mentioned some of the defensive things. I mean, what, you know, one of the reasons, you know, we didn't see it a ton against Bellarmine was because they made most of their shots. But I'm telling you this right now, when we play an athletic team that crashes the glass, oh my God, we do not put a body on anyone. Like, it is truly, like I would watch every time a shot would go up and I was like, there's no way. And of course, we saw it come back to bite us in the, like, one of the biggest free throws of the game right there, towards the end of the game. But I mean, it's just, these are things like on the defensive end that we should learn in high school, like help defense. If a guy gets beat on the baseline, like someone comes over and steps over, tries to take a charge, you know, keeping your eye on your man, you know, as with the ball as well. We got our backs turned. Like, I mean, this is like stuff that shouldn't even be being taught at, you know, at the college level. And I don't know if you saw it. I saw someone post it on Facebook. Or I don't know, like Derek Anderson kind of broke down a couple of possessions of us on the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, yeah, it was not pretty. So like I said, it's game one, you know, hey, I want this to work. I know you want it to work. You know, and whatever happens this year, you know, we're going to fully support the team. I believe they're going to get better. But I think we're allowed to look at it and be like, okay, well, it's definitely going to have to get better than this. Cause right now we're along, you know, we're pretty far away.
Yeah. I mean, the notion that I posted after the game, just like the stat that Louisville lost in a season opener for the first time in 19 years and lost a home opener for the first time in 22 years. And some people were like, "Yeah, this anti-Kenny Payne." I'm like, it's not fucking anti-Kenny Payne. It's a stat. If we had won, I would have posted Louisville wins 19th consecutive season opener and 22nd consecutive home opener. Like, we have people that I think are so on edge about any sort of Kenny Payne criticism. I mean, I got a national college basketball guy was sending me messages after the game and sent me a couple of tweets that he'd seen and was like, "Are you surprised that the fans are as okay with this as they are?" And his example was, "I can't imagine Kansas fans shrugging off a home loss to UMKC." And I was like, yeah, I think that people are a little bit sensitive right now, and I think everybody's just trying to do the right thing as fans. And then he found some other tweets from people that were like, "Fuck Kenny Payne, fire him right now." And he's like, "I'm not saying it needs to be like this." And I think the reason why you're seeing such a divide here, the two extremes, this is the way that I explained it to him. We are so desperate as a fan base to just get back to having fun, to just get back to this being what we're used to it being, regardless of how old you are. If you're listening to this podcast, like, you probably grew up, you probably lived most of your adult life in an era where Louisville basketball was good, where, you know, year in, year out, we may not be national title contenders every season, but we expect to be in the NCAA tournament. We expect to be top 25 good. We expect to, you know, have a chance to make a run once March gets here. And that hasn't been the case for the first time in any of our lifetimes for the last, what, 6-7 years. And we're all so hungry to do whatever it takes to get back to this being like this annual winter thing that we just know is going to be fun and the ride's going to be worth it. And it's going to end with a shot to make a run in the NCAA tournament, that it's drumming up a whole bunch of extreme opinions on Kenny Payne can do no wrong, extreme opinions on Kenny Payne can do no right. When the truth is, we don't fucking know still. Like, it's been one game. We don't know how recruiting is going to go. It's fair to certainly talk about and criticize and accentuate some of the positives from what we've seen so far. But big picture, the fact of the matter is we're all still guessing as far as how is this going to go. And I think the fact that we all want it to go so well, whether it's, you know, Kenny Payne being the guy who gets us there or scrapping the era and hiring somebody else in a few years and he gets us back there, we all want the same things, and I wish we could get on the same page there. But
yeah, one thing I was going to say real quick: winning cures all, man. Like, look what happened with football. Like, we were, I don't even want to say divided in football, because I think a lot of people had almost checked out on Scott including me, I'm guilty of it. Like, after that Boston College game, I was like, well, this is probably it here. And I mean, credit to him. We'll talk about the football team in a second, but when you start winning, man, like all those, you know, all those just arguments into the wind kind of go out the window. So, unfortunately for this basketball team, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of wins. So I think for us, like, we're going to have to judge it kind of on, what we see as far as, you know, style of play and how emotionally invested the kids are and stuff like that. So is there, like, let me ask you this, is there like a win total where you're like, okay, I don't know if this is actually going to work or not? I mean, I guess we got to see who he brings in for recruits. But I mean, if we won like 5 games, would you just be like, okay, what's going on here?
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Yes. I mean, if we – I said before the season I thought this was going to be like a 12, 13, 14 win team. If we're like a single-digit win team, I'm still going to be – I'm not going to say like fire Kenny Payne. I think you have to at least give him, you know, 2-3 seasons to get this thing going. But I will be concerned for sure. I mean, this – I know this roster is not great. This roster, it certainly stacks up with last year's team, and last year's team was able to win 13 games. This should not be a single-digit win team. Again, they shouldn't be losing to Bellarmine. I hate doing this. I didn't like doing it when Chris Mack was here, and I don't like doing it now, but it's you kind of have to do these things sometimes to make points. I couldn't help but think on Wednesday night about Rick Pitino's first game here. I mean, that team, you were coming off of a 12-win season with Denny Crum's roster, basically. We didn't have an opportunity to – he couldn't do the transfer portal thing. He didn't have time to recruit that class, just like Kenny Payne did. His biggest impact players coming in wound up being kicked off the team before we even got to the new year. And that first game, I don't know if you remember this, it was South Alabama. And
we scored
the first 19 points.
Yeah.
We scored the first 19 points of the game. We forced 36 turnovers. The crowd gave a standing ovation, I think, 6 or 7 different times. And it wasn't like nobody in that moment thought that team was going to be national title good. I think the next game they got the shit kicked in by Oregon, but it was such a, it was a tangible message. This is how we're going to play. This is how things are going to be done. Now it is, we're playing like our house is on fire every second of every game. And South Alabama wasn't ready for it. We just destroyed them. And it was just such a nice, refreshing, like, we're going to be back at some point. We don't have the roster yet. We don't have the talent yet. But this style, this coach, this energy, this enthusiasm, this culture, this is what is going to get Louisville basketball back to being Louisville basketball. And that's what wound up happening. And the fact that we didn't see that type of energy and enthusiasm and system and all that stuff on display Wednesday night or in either one of the exhibitions is certainly a little bit alarming. Not saying we can't get there. I'm just surprised we haven't seen more of it. I mean, you mentioned Bellarmine. They lose C.J. Fleming last year, who was their like really only solid, capable ball handler. They lose Dylan Penn, who's their most dynamic scorer. They lost their top 3 scorers from that team. And we let them be comfortable on offense. Like no ball pressure, no contesting passes, no, you know, getting out and trying to force a turnover. Until the end of the game when we were desperate, and it worked. Like, we could have, you know, you watch that last 4 minutes and it was like, cool, this is great, I'm glad we're getting back in the game. But we could have been doing this for the prior 36 minutes and had this not really be a contest. Like, that to me, there's no other way. It's frustrating to me to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was a good term you used, like playing like your house is on fire. Like, that's all, I mean, that's all the fan base wants to see, I promise. Like, you know, we all want Kenny Payne to succeed. Well, I shouldn't say it. I do, at least. I know you do. I think most of our fan base, there are a couple people, yes, I see out there that are like, you know, I don't know. The criticism's a little too much. Like they just get on him for rolling out of bed in the morning. So some of it's not fair. But if you get this team to buy in, like playing like their house is on fire, I promise you, like there's going to be games that we lose where if they play like that, like we will. I mean, we're not going to be like okay with it, but like we'll understand the direction that the program is heading. So yeah, I mean, I'm interested in this Wright State game. I know they played Davidson down to the wire. I know they had a big lead on them and blew it. So it should be interesting what happens. But God, I got to see it. The first three games, I haven't seen it. So, you know, like you said, maybe there was flashes a little bit. But, I mean, you need it for a full 40 minutes. And I don't care about the offensive side of the ball. I really don't. That'll come with time. Especially if we get some dudes in here, but I got to see it on the other side. I got to see it from a rebounding standpoint, a taking charge standpoint. And once we get that side cleaned up, I'll feel a lot better.
Here's the interesting thing about the Wright State game. And I know we got to flip to football cause we don't have a whole lot of time here, but real quick, Wright State presents the same types of challenges and the same opportunities to accentuate advantages that Bellarmine did. They're a really good offensive team. They're a really not good defensive team. Like Bellarmine, they won their conference tournament last year. Unlike Bellarmine, they got to play in the NCAA tournament. They beat Bryant in the first four, and then they were fairly competitive against Arizona in a 116 game. They brought back nine players from that team, including their leading scorer, Trey Calvin, who scored 37 against Davidson. But they are they're going to score points. It's a tough system to defend. We have our work cut out for us on that end again, but they are not good defensively. They were 253rd in adjusted defensive efficiency last year. They don't rebound the ball well. They're not big. It's the same type of game that we had on Wednesday night where we didn't use our superior size at all. We didn't use our superior athleticism at all. For the third straight game against woefully inferior sized team, we got outscored in points in the paint. We didn't dominate the glass. Our big guys aren't getting enough touches, and they're not working hard enough. Like, it's not just on the offense to get the guards to get the ball inside. Like, Sidney Curry's been a ghost. He's not doing anything. Brandon Huntley Hatfield is playing a little bit timid and then pouting a little bit when he's not getting the ball inside. J.J. Traynor, I think he's working hard. He seems to have improved a little bit, but he's still not there just yet. Roosevelt Wheeler seems like he wants to be anywhere else besides here. Like, the big guys are going to have to step up if we're going to be this team that uses, like, all this size means nothing if we're not going to play any bigger than we have been. I don't know what's going on with Sidney Curry, but
right,
he's not going
to
at least
that's what I was gonna
give
get
you anything.
To. Yeah, like, so I'll go. Like, talk about another red flag. All we heard all offseason was, like, how much harder the conditioning is and how much better shape these guys are in. Like, what am I looking at here? Because, I mean, I like Sid, but, I mean, he definitely looks not only out of shape, but also disinterested and kind of lost his edge as well. So, you know, I don't know if he didn't participate in the off-season conditioning drills or what. I don't really know what's going on there. But, I mean, if he's not going to do anything, it's going to be a long, long year.
Yeah, my last point, and we can move on to football, is we heard all offseason about – we knew the guards talk was the talk of the summer. Are we going to get more guards? Do we need help? They ultimately don't – they passed on some guards early in the transfer portal process that I think really could have helped because they thought they were going to get better guys. They didn't. And now we're sitting here looking at a backcourt where it's L. Ellis and not a whole lot of help. Fabio Basile, I'm assuming they don't think is ready to contribute because he hasn't played the last two games at all. Hersey Miller played 2 minutes and didn't, you know, made one bad turnover and missed a shot. What he was in on Wednesday. L. Ellis played all 40 minutes of the game Wednesday night. He played 38 of the 40 minutes against Chaminade. And down the stretch of the game against Bellarmine, he, in the last 4 minutes, last 6 minutes, I take it back, missed all four of his field goal attempts, had one turnover, had no assists, and missed the front end of a 1-on-1 that could have given us the lead. I'm not saying that all those things are related, but he looked a little bit tired at the end of the game. I don't know if this is sustainable, if playing him 40 minutes every single night when he's not in foul trouble is doable, because he looked like he couldn't handle the load against Bellarmine. I can't imagine how it's going to go against ACC teams, but it seems like that's the hand that we have right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Again, you know, we're just going to keep repeating ourselves, like, you know, why didn't we get guards here in the off season? And every day it looks more questionable. But, you know, if you got to play the young guys to get them some experience, then I totally get it. It's probably, we're probably going to take our lumps by doing that. But yeah, like you said, I don't think 40 minutes a game is sustainable. And I know we've pointed out a bunch of bad. I thought Mike James was great. I think he's someone that you can really kind of plant your flag with for the program. I'm very excited about his future. Even though, I mean, it's just one game. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But it was nice to see Jalen kind of come out of his last season funk and be kind of the player that we thought he could be, although he still does tend to disappear for stretches. I know he was in some foul trouble. But I thought, especially towards the beginning of the game, he had a really nice game. So there was some positives. I don't want to ignore that, but unfortunately, I think the negatives obviously outweighed the positives.
All right, let's flip to football here. We're up against it with time. Cards, four games in a row, four-game winning streak for the first time since 2016, four-game winning streak for the first time under Scott Satterfield. Putting that on the line against Clemson Saturday, 3:30 in Death Valley, ESPN game. Clemson coming off a 21-point loss to Notre Dame. They haven't lost back-to-back games since 2011, and they have a 38-game home winning streak. It's the longest streak in the country. The last time that they lost at home, it will be the six-year anniversary on Saturday. They lost 43-42 to Pitt back in 2016. Still went on to win the national championship. And the closer that we get to this game, I hate that the Bellarmine thing happened on Wednesday for obviously a myriad of reasons. More of it is it threw off my building of excitement and hatred for Clemson weekend, because the closer we get to this game, the more I remember just how much I fucking hate these losers and how much I want them to storm their field after a loss on Saturday. I can't stand them. I hate that we're 0-7 against them. Four of those losses have come in games where we had a chance to score in the final minute to win and haven't gotten it done on any of these occasions. We're just a 7-point underdog. I'll start off with this. I mean, what's your confidence level that we can make this happen? Clemson did not look great last week. They've looked a little bit flawed in recent weeks overall. We're obviously playing very well right now. What's your confidence level that we can finally get over this hurdle and beat these guys for the first time?
To be honest, I almost wish they weren't coming off a loss. Like, I hate that. I feel like Same. That really kind of woke them up. So that part sucks. They do have like a really good fucking defense, and we've been running the ball well. I still like don't have 100% confidence in our downfield passing game, so that scares me. But I do, God, I just love I just love the way we're playing, especially on the defense side of the ball. And I just like the confidence that we're playing with. I like the play calling the past couple games. Special teams has been great. If I had to rate it 1 through 10, oh man, honestly, I think I'm split 50-50. I know that's kind of a cop-out answer. I could see us totally coming in there and winning. But I like there is like, and I hate to even say this, but there's a small part of me that could see, you know, Clemson just waking the fuck up and like putting one on us for whatever reason, which would really suck. But the best part of that, well, not the best part, is the Cards play Wright State at 1:00. And if things go like they did in the Bellarmine game, we're going to be so fucking hate watching this. It's not even going to be funny. Like anytime, like imagine like we lose to Wright State, like the first play of the game, like it's like, that's a fucking hold, no flag. God damn it. I can already see it coming from like a mile away. But I am very charged up for this game, and like more than ever, like God, beating Dabo would just be as sweet as can be.
They always claim, you know, because they always do the field storming bullshit after the game, and they claim a million times like we do it win or lose. I've never seen them do it after a loss. I want to see them do it after a loss to us so desperately. Like, all these Clemson players just, like, get the fuck out of my face, you losers, when they're trying to get autographs and toss the ball around after seeing their ACC perfect season go up in flames. I'm like you. I wish they hadn't lost last week. If they're going to be, you know, this deep in the season undefeated, just go ahead and let us be the team that can hopefully ruin their CFP dreams. But that's not going to be the case. I mean, I'm so sick of their – I've said it before on the podcast. Clemson, as like this national perennial powerhouse, they're done. It's over. They're going to be good. They're going to keep being good. They're on the downslide. Dabo hates players getting money. He hates everything about modern college football. The recruits are starting to take notice. They don't go after transfers, which is so dumb. They're going to be good, but they're not going to be as good as they were during that crazy run from 2016 through 2020. That's my stance. Sticking by it. Having gone to the games in 2014 and 2016, developed such a serious disdain for this fake fan base, because in 2014, I got suckered in. I bought into the hype that whatever they put in the air down there, whatever they put in the water, I was buying it. You got people inviting you into their tailgate tents for drinks. You got them talking about how glad they are to have you in the ACC. I fell in love with the intoxication. It was wonderful. We lost the game because Bobby Petrino doesn't know how to have a prepared play and called a spike on third down, and James Quick couldn't outrun a linebacker. It was annoying. It was terrible. But still, I was like, I like Clemson. It was an awesome experience. The tailgate was great. The stadium's incredible. The fans were so nice. Going back there in 2016, when we suddenly were number three in the country and favored to beat them on their home field, was an entirely different experience. Everybody was a dick. Everybody was mean. Nobody was nice. Everybody was fuck you-ing. And then after the game, it was the only time that people were nice to you. And it was very much like the vibe of, y'all gave us quite a little scare there. You know, nice little program you got coming up there. And I just wanted to smack the fuck out of all those people. The condescension was annoying. And ever since then, I mean, that night, I drive back from the game. We had to stay in Livonia, Georgia, because it was the closest hotel we could get to Clemson. It's like a 25-minute drive. And it's me, it's Mary, it's a couple friend of ours. And the three of them, they all pass out. So I'm driving through like the backwoods of northern South Carolina to get into Georgia and listening to the official Clemson postgame, where Dabo Swinney is quite literally, like not even dancing around it, quite literally saying they won that game over my favorite team because God wanted them to win it. God didn't like my team as much as they like Dabo, as he likes Dabo. And I've never wanted to just drive my car off the side of the road and into a ditch more than I did in that moment. And I don't know if I'll ever get over it. It changed everything for me about this program. I can't.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I'm just with you, man. Like, I totally fell for the Dabo shit, like, for a while. Like, you guys caught on quickly, and you're like, dude, this guy fucking sucks. I was like, how do you hate Dabo? And, like, just one day I woke up, I was like, this guy is so fucking full of shit. It's not even funny. Like, I'm an idiot for taking that long to realize it. So, hand up there. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, think about this. Like, if Scott were to fucking pull this off after where we were against Boston College, to come in and the nation's longest home winning streak, beat a top, whatever, I don't know if they're 11 or 10, but be a top 11-10 team, get to 7 wins with another maybe 2 winnable games at the end of the year, have this recruiting class on deck. Like, not only does it shift, like, Scott's momentum here in the program in Louisville, it shifts like the entire ACC kind of outlook for the next couple years. Like, we become a legitimate fucking player these next couple years down the road. So I think this is a game, like, you know, I bet Dabo and Clemson even know it. Like, hey, this team right here is actually fucking coming, and we better strap the fuck up. So I am excited. I hope we just play like there's fucking no tomorrow. I haven't been this excited for a football game in a long time. It feels good.
5 words. Scott's D in Dabo's face. Suck it, Dabo. Fuck you. The D's coming for you. We're ready for this. Not to just kind of poo-poo on all the good vibes, because I'm riding the good wave. I'm loving the last 4 weeks have been so fun. But I think we have to acknowledge that the disastrous scenario is still very much out there. We need to win one of these last 3 games to make sure this is a, like, no denial, no debate about it, positive overall season that Satterfield can use as momentum with this recruiting class moving forward. Because guess what? If you lose these last 3, you're still right there at 6-6. You're still right there at the awkward disaster scenario. the season may not have played out exactly the way that we thought it was going to in terms of wins and losses, but we ended at the exact same place that so many were predicting. He needs to get one of these last three, preferably Clemson or Kentucky, and winning on Saturday would just take all of that, you know, like, but out of the equation. That would be a huge deal, not just because it's Clemson and because, you know, your five-game winning streak, but because you would have locked up, I think, a solid season that the fan base is going to be satisfied with, regardless of how the rest of the year goes. So, I mean, there's a ton on the line Saturday afternoon in Death Valley. I'm excited like you are. I'm pumped about it. And I know we kind of wrap up the pod here really quickly, but do you want to do predictions now, or do you have a quick day in the dumps?
Jeez. I mean, the whole last 24 hours of my fucking life has been down in the dumps with the flat tire and home late. So let's just, we'll do predictions. And then, we'll head out from there.
All right. Basketball first. I picked us to beat Bellarmine, I think, by 10 on the radio show. I thought that they would come out and just be a little bit of a different team. I thought it would be clunky, but they would still win. I'm still not buying the hype. I'm still believing that we should beat Wright State and that we will beat Wright State. Hopefully there were lessons learned on Wednesday night. I don't think it's going to be a dominant performance or anything like that, but I'm trusting KP to get these guys ready for this game. I'm going to say Louisville wins. Give me 76-71. Trey Calvin still gets his, but the Cards do win. Basketball first, who do you have there on Saturday, Dan?
Well, first off, you talked me out of the Bellarmine thing, because I was like, when we had the pod last year, you're like, dude, Bellarmine sucks. And I'm like, oh, well, you know him better than me. So I got
I did not say that. Bellarmine sucks. Well, okay. That is a gross mischaracterization.
That was. You're like, they lost a lot. And I you know, they did. And I switched my opinion. I'm just being flat out honest. I don't think we're going to win. Like, from what I've seen the first three games, I mean, shit, we should have lost by 10 points to Bellarmine. Like, we made that a lot closer than it should have been. Unless they really come out, you know, and do a 180 from what I've seen the first three games, I don't see how they win. So I'm going to, unfortunately, I'll say 77 to 70. We lose to Wright State. So, sorry, guys.
That's fair. And I mean, I don't hate you for it. I didn't hate anybody who predicted that we were going to lose to Bellarmine. I didn't think we would. We did. Those people were right. If you're going to say, I think we lose to Wright State too, you very well may be right again. I wouldn't be shocked. Football, 3:30, ESPN, Cards taking on Clemson, trying to finally get over the hump. Only team in the ACC that Louisville has played multiple times and still has not beaten. I want to believe. I want it to happen. Scott Satterfield's comments today on the Jim Rome show about Malik Cunningham says he's physically fine, but mentally he's got some hurdles to get over. Did not make me overly confident about his play on Saturday. I mean, we've got to get the passing game going a little bit. I think it was nice to see it getting going at the end of the James Madison game, but Clemson's not going to let you run over them the way that James Madison let you run over them. Defensively, I think we'll give a stout performance. We've been good defensively. Clemson's been a little bit shaky on offense. I think we're in the game. I don't think we get it done. I hope I'm wrong. Would love to be wrong for the umpteenth time this season. I'm going to say Clemson wins. Give me 20, some weird score, 29-23. What do you got?
Man, this is tough. I want to pick the Cards so bad. I do. I really do. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why. There's just some, like, sort of fucking mystique at Clemson that makes it so fucking hard to win, even though, like, I'm like, Jesus, we're just as good, you know, if not playing better at this very moment. But I'm just for vibes of the pod, I'm going to say Clemson wins, because usually we're always wrong. So I'm going to say Clemson wins 20-16. And I would like to be proved wrong, and you guys can shit on me if that's the case. But I do feel good about this. I'm going to pick Clemson 2016.
Here's to being wrong. Here's to celebrating multiple victories this weekend. If we do, I mean, if we beat Clemson, can we say it? Emergency pod Saturday night?
Oh, dude, you will get my best emergency pod yet. Well, it's like, hopefully you didn't listen to the last one. It's like, I don't even remember the last one. But it's like, this will be a good one, I promise.
Here's hoping you hear from us Saturday night. If not, you'll definitely hear from us next week. Let's get this done. Fuck Clemson. Fuck Dabo. Scott's D, all up in your face. Take it to Death Valley. Let's get this job done. Go Cards. Beat Wright State, then beat Clemson. We'll talk to you guys later.
Let's go, Scott. Go Cards.